Hello? Anybody home?
Today, I want you to open your mind.
The following program contains material of an enlightening matter. Open-mindedness is advised.
I've almost come to the conclusion that the story is so damning that the mass of people can't deal with it.
Sooner or later, you have to bring in an element of persuasion, an element of getting people to consent to what is happening to them. We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques to get people actually to love their servitude.
We face a hostile ideology, global in scope, atheistic in character, ruthless in purpose, and insidious in method.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
To change the minds and the attitudes and the beliefs of the people of the world, and especially the United States, to bring about one world socialist totalitarian government.
If you can get people to consent to the state of affairs in which they are living, then you have a much more easily controllable society than you would if you were relying wholly on clubs and firing squads and concentration camps.
The tools of conquest do not necessarily come with bombs and explosions and fallout. There are weapons that are simply thoughts, attitudes, prejudices, to be found only in the minds of men.
On infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
As you connect the dots between different people, organizations, places, religions, history, suddenly the picture starts to form. If you don't connect the dots, it's just a mass of what's all this about.
The kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure.
Someone born in the United States is not more special than someone born in Mexico. Someone who is white is not more special than someone who is black. They're just vehicles for the consciousness to experience.
Brutes have risen to power, but they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people.
War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength.
Humans as a species are prone to amnesia. Those who do not remember the past are doomed to repeat it. It is thus imperative that these all-important matters be thoroughly explored and not left up to blind faith.
About time some of you got acquainted with the real hard truth.
What you are now experiencing is the vibration of air particles being transformed into electrical signals by your senses and DNA, then sent to the brain where they are decoded into sounds. I'm your host, Ryan Gable, and you are listening to the Secret Teachings radio broadcast. If you'd like to contact me for any reason, the email is rdgable@yahoo.com. That's rdgable@yahoo.com. The social media page, facebook.com/thesecretteachings. You can also message me there. And the website, www.thesecretteachings.info, where you can find show topics, top news stories, merchandise, my book Occult Arcana, and our subscription service, which right now we still have our Cyber Monday Black Friday deal until the end of the month, where you get a one-year subscription and a softcover autographed copy of my book Occult Arcana for $40. You can do that through the website or simply go to PayPal. You don't even have to have a PayPal account, and use the email rdgable@yahoo.com. I've got a pile of books from people who have purchased our Black Friday deal, and I'm letting them pile up, and I'll go to the post office and send those out very soon. So if you'd like to get a copy of that book and the subscription, now is the time to do it. The sale extends through the month of November, and that supports us and helps to keep us on air 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, exclusively on the Fringe FM starting at midnight U.S. Pacific time. That's 3 a.m. U.S. Eastern time. And of course, depending on where you are around the world, you can adjust for your time zone. If you're unable to listen, that's why another reason why the archive is excellent, because you can go in and download every single episode and you can stream every single episode. There's no limit on what you can download and what you can stream. If you missed last night's broadcast, we talked about divination in all types of various forms. Divination by egg, divination by dice, divination by cards, divination by crystal ball, and the various forms of divinatory practices that we all perform today. Whether we think of them as acts of divination, whether we think of some of the common household items we have as being tools of divination, they nonetheless are. Right now I have a pen on my desk, I'm holding it in my hand, and this perhaps is one of the oldest tools of divination, the pen. I take a piece of paper, and I dot, 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 dot. I make a bunch of dots in a row, kind of like automatic writing, and I make several rows of those dots without thinking about it. I just dot, 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 dot. I add up the lines, and through a somewhat complex until you comprehend it, which geomancy as a form of divination is something that never interested me that much, but from what I've read about it, you make these lines of dots, you go through a somewhat complicated until you understand it, that is, process by putting them in order and assigning certain numbers to each line, whether it's an odd number or an even number of dots, and then you go through this process and you try to divine something, a question, an answer to a question, by simply making dots on a piece of paper. That might sound silly, but we all practice forms of divination. If you've ever gone and done an apple bobbing at church or some harvest festival, that is divination. Or at least, apple bobbing used to be a process by which one would divine the future. Trying to bite an apple that is strung from a tree is likewise a form of divination. Cracking an egg and reading the yolk is a form of divination. Of course, we know about things like the crystal ball, something that actually has a name, the crystallomancy, divination by crystal ball or some type of lens. Even fingernails, even reading the sunlight that reflects off of your fingernails is a form of divination. It's called onikomancy. Onikomancy. I went through all of these yesterday at the end of the broadcast, but I also looked at forms of divination being able to predict the future based on past and current, present, modern events, following the patterns of what is occurring and what has occurred to predict what will occur. Now, that might seem like, to some people, blasphemous to God, because any concept of predicting the future, per se, is typically seen by more religious communities, that is, as being an insult, as being the work of the devil, the work of Satan, etc., etc. But you look at companies. Look at a company like Amazon. As much as I do not like Amazon, Amazon has employed that tactic. A few years ago, Amazon announced that they can send you packages based on your previous purchases, and they can determine through algorithms and artificial intelligence whether or not you will buy something and whether or not they should ship that item to you before you make the purchase. That doesn't mean they're doing that all of the time. They're just saying they have the ability to do that. At Purdue University, they have something called a world simulator where they dump this information into a simulation on a computer, and they can determine outcomes of events based on the information that is plugged into the system. The more information you have, the more details you have about a person's life, their likes, their dislikes, about patterns that can be found when studying events. You plug that information in, and I know I'm very much simplifying how this process works. You plug that information in, and then you can determine future outcomes. For example, if someone leaves their house every single morning, Monday through Friday at least, when they go to work, they leave their house at 8:30, and they get in their car, they have to be at work by 9, they go down to the gas station, they get a cup of coffee, and they go to work. Is it really a work of the devil to presume, based on the information that you've seen, that this person gets up at 7:30, takes a shower, gets ready, goes outside, gets in their car, goes and gets a cup of coffee, and then they go to work? That's a pattern of behavior. And by watching and monitoring that pattern of behavior, you can determine what that person will do in the future. It's not really that complex of a subject. But these are also tools of divination. We can divine the future. That doesn't mean that we're divining the future in the sense of asking a certain question, biting an apple, and if we're able to do that, then the answer to the question is yes, or the answer to the question is no, whether or not one is more important than the other. Maybe you do want a question to be answered with a no. But we all practice divination, just like we, at least those of us who are religious. I'm not religious, but I'm also not an atheist. Pray to a God, pray to God, pray to gods, and we ask for things. God, let me do well in this interview. I'll go to church more. God, let me do this, and I'll do that for you, and I'll give more at church. I'll do more for the community. All of that is like making a pact with a spirit. It's like making a pact with the devil. It's like making a pact with God. You're making a pact with some unseen, at least apparently unseen, force. Same thing with people. And I think even if you're not religious, you do these types of things. I've done them. I'm not religious. In fact, they seem to be kind of embedded in the fabric of who I am. And I think that it's embedded in the fabric of who everybody is. It's part of human nature. It's part of some underlying, perhaps genetic, superstition, meaning tradition, something that is left over, something that we are not necessarily 100% aware of where it comes from, but it's embedded in us genetically. And so perhaps when we do things like, just let me get this job promotion, and if I'm going to get this job promotion, give me a sign, something, whoever's listening, my guardian angel, the devil, Satan, God, some higher power, some higher force. Whoever's listening, just give me a sign that things are going to be okay. Give me a sign that I'm going to be okay. Maybe you're sick, or maybe you are worried about paying bills, or maybe you are a gambling person, a gambling man, a gambling woman, and just give me an idea. Who's going to win this game so I can bet and I can make a bunch of money? Or what are the winning lottery numbers? These are things that have been done for hundreds and hundreds, for thousands of years, and we do them today, even if we're not religious. I think a lot of our actions, just like a lot of common statements and phrases, like, for example, maybe you don't hear people say this a lot, but just as an example, if someone says, the die is cast, the die is cast, that comes from dice divination, divination by dice. The die is cast, the future is set, predetermined perhaps, but what is predetermined is different than what might occur as part of some prediction of the future. Just because something is predicted to happen doesn't mean that it will happen. Because likewise, you can predict that somebody will come out of their house at 8:30, get in their car and go get a cup of coffee, but maybe that one day they're sick, and so it doesn't always happen as planned. But more often than not, when you have these patterns and you understand these patterns, then you can determine future events. And then when we look at specific forms of divination, these are specifically performed in order to determine what might happen in the future, or to receive an answer to a question that might be burdening oneself. All of these things are things that, in one way or another, in one shape or another, all of us have performed, and at the very, very least, we have used and continue to use the tools of divination, because 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, The tools of divination were whatever you had around you. You had a handful of dirt, and you throw the dirt on the floor, and then you read where the dirt and maybe a few little rocks landed, and you interpret that. Am I going to get married? And you throw the dirt, just like throwing some dice, just like casting some dominoes or using animal bones or something along those lines. Various forms of divination, a pen, an apple, tea even. I have a cup of tea here on my desk. I use the loose leaf tea. There's a form of divination by which you read tea leaves. I think it's pretty incredible. I think it's fascinating. I love learning. That's why I read, I take notes, and then I present the information to you here on the Secret Teachings. Today, though, we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to look at a couple of funny stories. I think they're funny. In another way, they're kind of insulting and they're embarrassing. And when I say embarrassing, I don't mean that I'm actually embarrassed, but it's embarrassing to be associated with stuff like this. We're going to talk about time travel somewhat briefly this evening. And the reason that I bring up time travel is because I continuously see these stories in the mainstream media, even not always in the mainstream media, but often they make their way into the mainstream media, about people that claim they are time travelers and they come from either the year 3000, the year 4000. One person said that they came from the year 6000. And it's very, very obvious, at least to me. Maybe I'm wrong. But it's very, very obvious to me that if someone comes from the year, let's say, 6,000, all right, that's 4,000 years from now, roughly speaking. That's roughly double the time that human beings have lived in a more civilized state. So we're doubling the time that human beings have existed on this planet in some form of a civilized manner. And usually what these people from the future claim, whether it's a war or there's a utopia, they're claiming very idealistic or very common and very absolute types of futures. Futures in which it doesn't really look any different than it is today. I watched this one video that was circulated by mainstream media. Just as an example, there's no need to go watch this and waste a couple of minutes of your life. But I went and watched this one video that somebody sent me. Millions of views. It was even in the mainstream media. Time traveler claims to be from like the year 6000. And of course, mainstream media publishes those stories because they know it draws traffic. It's clickbait. Time traveler from the year 6000 says utopia exists. That's clickbait. And then they can also make fun of people who believe that story while they make money off of publishing it as clickbait. And then they can associate the nonsensical nature of that story with other people who might believe things that are much more believable. In the sense of, for example, let's say we have a time traveler. Mainstream news publishes that story. They make fun of it. And then in the article, there's always that smug comment towards the end of the story where the quote-unquote journalist, if we can call them that, the journalist says, yes, these people that believe in time travel are really no different than people that believe that there is fluoride in the water. Well, there is fluoride in the water. Fluoride is also very natural, and there are various different forms of fluoride. But associating something that is very, very provable with something that is, in my opinion, nonsensical in many ways, it's embarrassing to be associated with that. But these stories like this are published because clickbait. People will click on them and watch the videos where the time traveler's head is blurred out. And these videos receive a tremendous amount of attention and make some people a lot of money. Millions and millions, tens of millions of views, even on YouTube. So I watched this one about a guy from the year like 6000, and he said there was one I watched. I've watched many of these, but there was one I watched, I think it was the 6000 one, where the guy had like a picture from the year 6000, and apparently we're using the exact same type of photo paper 4000 years from now, and it was supposed to be a picture of what some city looks like in the year 6000, and the picture was blurred out. I think you might have had to have paid like the channel to get access to the picture, you know. And so the picture was blurred out, but I read about the description of it, and it basically was a modern city. It was like Chicago or New York. It looks exactly the same then as it does now. And so it's not really any different, or maybe they kind of edited it. It looks like some type of futuristic Jetsons-like city. The reason I'm talking about this from this angle, because I've discussed subjects that kind of orbit around this black hole of nonsense, is because whether it's Antarctica, or it's time travel, or it's directed energy weapons in California, I'm not dismissing time travel. I'm not dismissing that there are scientific expeditions to Antarctica, but they are scientific expeditions, and they do not prove that there are aliens walking around in the snow. And I don't dispute that directed energy weapons have been utilized in the past, specifically on September 11th, 2001, but I don't see enough credible evidence to believe outright that they were used in California to start the campfire. If anything, mainstream media has blamed the power company, and I would suggest that in some cases where houses are burned, if those photographs are actually from the fire in 2018 and not from some past fire, that those fires maybe were started by smart meters. There was even a lawsuit filed last year that some of the fires in 2017 were actually started by smart meters. And what better of a distraction would the power company and those that push smart meters, what better distraction could they dream for than people peddling directed energy weapons with photographs claiming that these are proof of laser beams when they're not proof of laser beams, when they're proof that rockets launched or missiles launched and fell on their target. Some pictures aren't even from California. And this subject of time traveling is really no different. Is time traveling real? I don't know. Possibly. How many people do you remember coming on to Art Bell talking about time travel? Or people talking about building a time machine? I've played the clip from Madman Markham back in the mid-90s, and some of the things that he said about throwing objects into a vortex are very similar to what Emery Smith, the E.T. Butcher as they call him, claimed at Disclosure Fest in 2018. I have all of those clips, and I've played them before, and the funny thing about them is Emery Smith said he's been to laboratories where they've thrown an orange into a vortex, and it's disappeared, and sometimes it comes back, sometimes it doesn't come back. And then he tells a joke, and he says, and somebody on another planet just got hit with an orange. Everybody laughs. And then he says something along the lines of, maybe I'll just play the clip here. I'll pull it up. But he says something along the lines of, this technology is too advanced. The public's not ready for it yet. And I find that interesting because he says this, the E.T. Butcher, Emery Smith, says this in 2018, and yet back in the 90s, so we're looking at at least over 20 years ago. I think the interview that I have a clip of Madman Markham on Art Bell was like 1994 or 1995, something like that. So we're looking at least 20 years going back to 1998 and maybe 23, 24, 25 years ago. And if you remember Madman Markham, the guy was like stealing stuff from the power company, and he like transformers, and the guy actually kind of knew what he was talking about. to a degree. And he made the same claims in the early 90s. This was just some guy. And a lot of it, in fact, probably all of it was made up, fake, hype, sensationalism. It's listen bait rather than clickbait. It's listen bait. But nevertheless, this guy claimed this in the early 90s. Emory Smith is claiming it in 2018, saying that the technology just can't be released to the public. Well, Emory, some guy developed this in the early 90s. Exactly what you're saying. So either you stole the information from him or you're lying because the public apparently has access to it, considering that some guy stealing things from the power company was able to build this same device that you saw in some secretive underground laboratory. I actually have the clip here. I have a couple of them. Let me go ahead and play this because this is part of tonight's broadcast. I'm not dismissing that time travel exists. I'm not dismissing that directed energy weapons exist and have been used. I believe that they have. Time travel might very well be real. But you need to prove it to me by showing me at least some form of evidence that is credible. Unfortunately, the real cabal, and I'm not just talking about David Wilcock and Emory Smith and Corey Good and Jordan Sather and that whole cabal of we make it up as we go. The internet is littered. Podcasting is littered. Radio is littered with people that make claims, and when they go to show evidence, the evidence is not substantial and it's barely circumstantial. The evidence is, for example, this article I have about time travel today that I've saved is about a time travel from the year 3700. And he says that there's a war in 3700 between humans and robots. So apparently, as we develop AI in the 21st century, perhaps it was developed in the late 20th century, we develop AI in the 21st century and we have robots and drones, and it's advancing at a rapid pace. Apparently, it's going to take over 1,700 years for a war to break out between humans and robots, according to this guy. And his piece of evidence that he has, there's a video of it, it's laughable at best, is something that looks like he went to like a garage sale, or he went to, better yet, he went to one of those like computer stores where you can just, everything is just in different crates and bins, and there's all kinds of stuff you can get to build a computer or replace parts. And it looks like he just bought a bunch of stuff and he glued it together, and then he took some just random wiring and wrapped it around the metal, and then shows it as proof of what he says is a robot fox in the year 3700. And the problem with this is that people might say, well, he showed evidence. Okay. But just because you show evidence, what kind of evidence is it? I've told this story so many times. I got into this conversation with a woman at the 5D conference where she said that the proof that there are sex colonies on Mars of children was a story that she read. You know, silly me, I thought there were photographs of the sex colonies. There wasn't. What there was, however, was a story about Jeff Bezos. I've said Elon Musk in the past. I get these guys confused. It's Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos launching a $1 billion satellite into space, a telescope. I said that. What is that proof of? She said, see, that's proof that there is a sex colony on Mars, because what else would Jeff Bezos want to do with a telescope in space? I don't know, lady. Maybe he wants to start a space program. Maybe he wants to search for extraterrestrial life. I don't know. These things sound more plausible than he wants to look at a sex colony on Mars with his telescope. But you might say, that's proof. That's proof. They provided proof. See this time traveler from the year 3700? He provided proof. He has this mechanism there. The robot arm, that's proof. See? Proof that he's from the year 3700. Let's play this Emory Smith clip. I really didn't want to, or was it my intention, rather, to talk about the Emory Smith, David Wilcock, Corey Good, Jordan Sather cabal, but, and I've always extended them a hand of courtesy in coming on the show and talking to me, but of course they will not. I didn't intend to talk about this tonight, but it's so perfect as an example of what I'm discussing on the subject of time traveling and this specific story about a guy who says he's from the year 3700. Let's listen to what Emory Smith said. The last time I played this was on the Joe from the Carolina show a few days ago. If you've never heard it, pay close attention and listen to what he says, and then I'm going to play the clip from Art Bell back in the 90s. Almost identical.
Perfectly got it done. And I've been in a couple labs where they do throw an orange somewhere into an area of an energetic field, and it's gone. And just think, wow, yeah, it went somewhere. And sometimes it comes back, and sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, someone's sitting over there on another planet just got hit in the head with an orange.
Oh, it's so funny. This is Disclosure Fest 2018. So he says that he's been in laboratories where they throw an orange through some energetic vortex. Now let's listen to, in the 1990s, this is over 20 years ago, some guy, not a whistleblower, not an E.T. butcher, just some guy making the exact same claim.
They call it a vortex, but...
All right, you threw it into what we'll call the vortex.
Yeah.
All right, what happened to the screw?
That's not Heather Wade, that's Art Bell.
Well, I had this thing sitting on a table, right?
Yeah.
And I threw it in there, and I didn't see it after that.
It disappeared?
Yeah, roughly. I, like, did it three times. My laser burned up, so I knew it'd do that.
So he throws the screw into the vortex. Different than an orange, but so he still throws this item into a vortex. Now, then Emory Smith says that we're just not ready for this technology, although some guy developed it 20 years ago in his garage.
We're just not ready. You know, I'm just being funny, but I'm being serious. We're not ready yet for a lot of that technology to fall into just everyone's hands.
Well, it seems like somebody had it in the 1990s, over 20 years ago. It seems like somebody made a mistake somewhere, and they let this information leak to the public, wouldn't you say? Earlier, I used the word embarrassing. It's embarrassing because there are legitimate researchers, legitimate authors, who do research and who look for credible evidence for whatever the subject might be. You have, I'd say, to use this word loosely, somewhat credible, scientists, physicists, and the like, who discuss things like time travel in a very practical way. And then you have those who are, just to say the very least, clickbait. They just draw your attention in with a sensational headline, with a sensational claim, give you nothing to back that claim up, and expect you to believe it. And the unfortunate thing is, so many people want to believe that they will believe it despite the lack of credible evidence. And that's why these videos of time travelers from the year 3700 or the year 6000 or the year 1 million receive 1 million hits on YouTube, and somebody makes thousands of dollars a month off of this. That's why I think, and that's why I attempt to do it myself, we need to encourage critical thinking and personal research skills within all communities, whether it's the mainstream or it's the alternative, or you're somebody like me who doesn't subscribe to either, and you're just sitting there reading books, listening to interviews, trying to figure life out. I encourage you to think for yourself. I encourage you to read books. I encourage you to question. I encourage you to take notes. The cabal doesn't encourage you to do that. They encourage you to believe them based on blind faith. I'm Ryan Gable, and this is The Secret Teachings. We'll be right back after this break to continue our conversation on time travel and more. The Black Friday sale.
Racist.
The African American sale.
culturally inappropriate.
The White Friday sale.
Hateful and patriarchal.
Okay, the PC Friday sale.
Offensive to people who like Macintosh.
All right, so we'll just call it a sale. Right now, through the end of November, a $40 donation to The Secret Teachings will get you a one-year subscription, giving you access to the full show archive with unlimited downloads and an autographed softcover copy of my book, Occult Arcana. Digital copies are available as well. So visit www.thesecretteachings.info or use the email rdgable@yahoo.com on PayPal. That's www.thesecretteachings.info, a $40 donation for a year subscription and a softcover autographed copy of my book, Occult Arcana. Thank you all for supporting the broadcast so that we can be with you five nights a week.
Offensive to people who only like to listen four nights a week.
Would you get out of here?
Is out there.
There's something out here.
And so are we. KTOK Digital Broadcasting, The Fringe FM. If you enjoy The Secret Teachings radio broadcast, all the time and effort we put into production, research, and hosting, and our unwillingness to sell our souls for profit or fame, visit our website at www.thesecretteachings.info and get yourself a t-shirt, coffee mug, and Ryan's book, Occult Arcana, which he will autograph for you, and subscribe for unlimited downloads and streams of all our past broadcasts. Every yearly subscriber will also receive a digital copy of that book free. So visit www.thesecretteachings.info and support a show that has been banned from countless networks and conferences for honestly expressing what goes on behind the scenes. That's www.thesecretteachings.info for books, shirts, and subscriptions.
Occult Arcana is a balanced and objective guide to those subjects considered a part of the nature of light and darkness. Addressed in this text is a compilation of material that will provide new perspectives and awaken latent abilities that we all possess. The content herein shall provide magical sustenance for adept and novice alike, and will help strengthen the cornerstone of mystic understanding and alchemical transmutation. If you are interested in this modern grimoire, you can find detailed information and ways to order by visiting www.thesecretteachings.info. Although esoteric and occult studies remain vast, they are rooted within a universal philosophy that is difficult, if not impossible by finite terms, to explain in words. Language places restriction and erects barriers to understandings. By this it is to be understood that there are some things man should consider far too sacred to profane with definition. For these concepts and the manner by which we live our lives, we shall take a note from the Greek philosopher Pythagoras, quote, "Silence is better than unmeaning words," end quote. To get your autographed copy of Occult Arcana today, simply visit www.thesecretteachings.info or email The Secret Teachings at rdgable@yahoo.com.
Hey Fringe FM listeners, did you know that when you're on the road with limited data or no Wi-Fi available, you can still listen to every minute of the Fringe FM by calling 701-719-3971. No smartphone, app, or internet needed. Saves your data plan and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call 701-719-3971. That's 701-719-3971. Listen to the Fringe FM on any phone, anytime, anywhere.
I just want to say I had a really great time talking to both of you as well as your listeners. And please keep up the great work, and I hope we can work together in the future. Hey, this is Joe from the Carolinas. My website and YouTube channel is joefromthecarolinas.com, and you're listening to The Secret Teachings with Ryan Gable. Let's get into it.
You are listening to The Secret Teachings with your host, Ryan Gable. To contact Ryan, email rdgable@yahoo.com. We'll be right back.
Today on The Secret Teachings, we have a story about time travel. A man from the year 3700 warns of a terrible war between humans and robots. He provides what looks like something that he found at a computer repair shop as proof of a robot that attacked him. Isn't it amazing the number of people that are time travelers that come from thousands of years in the future? The year 3700 in this case, or in other cases, the year 6,000, 4,000 years from now. Isn't it interesting that everything sort of looks the same when they describe it? They don't really go into any more detail. They'll say things like, well, there are flying cars now. There are buildings that are built a little bit differently, but they're basically the same. There are robots walking around. I mean, really not going into too much detail where, if I feel at least, if I was to describe modern civilization today to a group of uncontacted indigenous people living in a remote part of the world, if I was able to communicate with them, it's doubtful they would understand or be able to comprehend something like a cellular phone, maybe even something like a pen, a ballpoint pen, let alone the complexities of something like rocket science or the complexities of theoretical physics. They might have their own understandings of nature and the world, but in terms of how we see things and perceive things and how we teach things and we learn things and we build things, it's alien to that group of uncontacted indigenous people, wherever they might be in the world. I would imagine, because the separation between those indigenous people and our modern society is less than a few hundred years, really, just a matter of seconds, looking at the amount of time that human beings have occupied this planet, at least as we're told. So if we're looking at something 4,000 years from now, or in the year 3700, 1,700 years from now, let's subtract that from our current century. If you took off 1,700 years, you're looking at roughly the year 300 and something. Now, let's imagine that we go back in time to the year 300. Wherever we might go on the globe, we go back to the year 300. We go to the Roman Empire. We go back to 324 AD? That's when the Catholic Church was granted its formation. We go back to the founding of the Catholic Church. We go into the church and we talk to people who are there praying. I'm just giving a very superficial general and basic example here. But we go back to the 324, 325 roughly AD. We go into the church. Obviously, the church was formed as a more of a concept, but we go into a church and we talk to people and we show them our cell phones. Do you think they're going to understand that? You think they're going to understand cellular phones? You think they're going to understand computers as we have them today? You think they're going to understand the common household items that we have today? Now, tack on that 1,700 years. Let's bring it back to the year 2018. And then add another 1,700 years to the year 3,700. I would imagine that the difference between these two examples here would be none. The difference between what happened in the year 300 and what happens in the year 2018 will maybe even be less of a difference than what happens in the year 3700 in comparison to the year 2018 as technology rapidly increases and advances, despite the fact that there might be some form of technological or natural disaster that might set humans back 100 or 200 years. We're still looking at a huge difference between what happens in the year 3700 and what happens in the 21st century as a whole, for that matter. much like we see a difference between the year 300 and the year 2018. We see a difference between the different decades, between the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and today. My point here being is if you come from the year 3700, and I know that for some of you this is really easy and you're thinking, well, obviously this is just clickbait, it's nonsense. Remember, as I have to, not everybody thinks that. There are millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people that think this is real, that use this as proof, that believe this to be true. Millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people who actually will pay. They will pay money to go to events where people like this speak and tell their story with no proof and no evidence at all. They will write books and be published by big publishing companies. They will make millions of dollars peddling nonsense. They will make millions of dollars telling stories that are not true. And if it was just promoted as a fictional story and people were still interested, if these types of people who told these stories were like Stephen King, that's different. These people are saying that it's real and they're taking money from people. As far as I'm concerned, it's like theft. They're stealing from people. Now, of course, if people are naive enough to give their money to people like this, then perhaps they deserve it. But they should be at least made aware and encouraged to think about what these stories are about. They should be encouraged to think about what they are supporting. And because most of us, including myself, I was never encouraged to think about any of this. I developed that skill on my own. If I never did, I mean, I probably wouldn't be aware of it, but being aware of it now, I would have wanted somebody to help me realize that I don't have to believe everything that is on YouTube, which unfortunately today is becoming more and more saturated with stuff like this, because this is what receives hits on YouTube. Honesty and integrity and morality and ethics, virtue, does not receive the same kind of attention. For whatever it might be, the truth does not make money. Sensationalism and hype makes money. And that could be a story about Antarctica, it could be a story about DEWs in California, or it could be a story of time travel. A time traveler from the year 3700. And usually these stories are told on YouTube channels that have millions and millions of subscribers, or at least hundreds of thousands of subscribers. These people make millions of dollars over maybe a couple of months, maybe a couple of years, but they make a hell of a lot more money than most of us make peddling nonsense, being clickbait. I know that for sure because somebody stole a show I did one of my first years on radio. I had no clue, not that I really do today, what I was talking about. I just simply had a conversation with my co-host at the time, Mike D. We were having a discussion about Antarctica and Operation High Jump. That clip, which was about 28, close to 30 minutes long, somebody stole that from a show. They put it on YouTube, and it was the number two YouTube video under the tags of Antarctica, and they had a couple of other ones. The number two video, it was estimated, somebody did this for me, it was estimated that these people were making close to $10,000 a month. I think it was $10,000 or close to $10,000 a month off of my video that they stole. Or rather, the audio they stole and then put some random computer-generated images over it. Tens of thousands of dollars. If I made a few thousand dollars like that a month, I'd be able to save up in a couple of years and retire. That's how simply I live. I live on just a few hundred dollars. I don't need $10,000 a month to live like Corey Good or David Wilcock. That's not what makes money, though, telling the truth. What makes money is lying. What makes money is making things up. So we go back to the time travel. These people make up claims that they are from the future. As far as I'm concerned, that this is 99.99% nonsense. I usually try to prevent myself from being so absolute. But these time travelers, as they're called, as they're self-proclaimed, claim to be from a variety of times in the future, and they don't give us any details of the future beyond that which exists in the present. And yet, the difference between today, minus the amount of time from today that we would add for whatever year these people come from, 3,700, 6,000, whatever it might be, subtract that from the modern time, and look at that historical period and see the difference between that period and this period of time. So incredibly different in terms of technology, I would imagine that the difference between today and where these time travelers come from is as, if not more, different than what it would have been minus that amount of time going back into history. There's another time travel story here about a time traveler from the year 6000. And he says that dinosaurs are kept in zoos in the year 4529. Maybe these people are right, maybe I'm wrong, but I'd like to see, like, real evidence. I'd like to see real information. The fact is, they don't have real evidence. They don't have any real information because they're making it up. And they don't really have good imaginations either. Because I saw the movie. Most of you probably have too. We actually interviewed the woman who authored the concept. I've seen the movie where there's a war between humans and robots. It had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. And there actually were several movies where there are battles between humans and robots. I guess robots are going to wait about 1700 years to start a war with human beings. Just like the claims that are made by the Wilcock, Emery Smith, Corey Good, Jordan Sather cabal, they make claims, and when you really think about them, you realize that resonates with me because I've seen that somewhere. I've seen that in Star Wars. I've seen that in Star Trek. And it's not like these people are saying, well, yeah, the doors in the underground labs, they're kind of like, to give an example, they're kind of like the doors in Star Trek on the Enterprise. No, they just say, this is what the doors do. This is what it looked like. And they don't reference the material that is an example of what they're saying. They simply say, this is what happened. They don't reference the movie. But when you think about it, you realize, oh, that's from Star Trek, that's from Star Wars. Or you do what I've done, and you flip through random movies, not doing any research, just flip through random movies on Netflix. You come across a movie, as I did a few weeks ago. I watched this movie, and then I read the new David Wilcock article, and there's a story in the article about these big black spheres being put over the Earth to protect the Earth, and it's like extraterrestrial, and he told this whole long story, and as soon as I read that, I was immediately taken back to the movie I had just watched, some independent film on Netflix, which came out like 2 years ago, and that movie depicted exactly that, black spheres protecting the Earth. There was a lot more detail to it than that, but once again, information taken from a movie, taken from a story that's already been told. These time travelers don't have very active imaginations. You might think they do to say something like this, but all this is, these videos, all this is clickbait, trying to make money. It's pathetic, and it's embarrassing. I don't want to be associated with this, but don't you think that also there are psychological operations that are being conducted to peddle this nonsense and to at least allow this nonsense to be peddled by those who just want to make money so that it discredits, by association, other people asking questions about more relatable and realistic things. That's always how the conspiracy theories and critical thinking is dismissed. You might say, well, you know, I just have a really hard time believing that there is not collusion, let's say, with the FDA and pharmaceutical companies and pushing drugs onto the market without them being tested. I just have a hard time. There's not collusion there in some way, that there's not a lot of money being passed around, that there aren't agents of the pharmaceutical companies working in the FDA. And then the response to that is, come on, that's just a conspiracy theory. What do you believe, reptilians run the world? What do you believe, time travelers came from the year 3700 and they're warning of a robot-human war? You're crazy. That's the association. And that's embarrassing. And I don't like it when people take my work and they take the work of others and they make a mockery of it, not to make fun of it because they are ignorant or because they just want to have some fun, but they make a mockery of it by taking information out of context, by lying, and by tricking people to create this mass following of delusional minds who think that their leader is the reincarnation of a prophet, which, by the way, Mike D. here at The Secret Teachings messaged, emailed the Edgar Cayce Institute, and they said they've never heard of David Wilcock. You'd think that if Edgar Cayce was back, he'd at least contact that organization, wouldn't you think? The point of tonight's broadcast, though, is to go through some of these wild stories, and furthermore, to address some of these, I really truly don't have a word to explain it, these snake oil salesmen and saleswomen that I've witnessed at conferences that I've been to. And how you look at some of the things that are peddled to the public. You look at things like crystals, you look at things like light therapy, and there has been done legitimate, I would say from the point of view of true science, legitimate research into such subjects, be it crystals, be it light therapy, etc., etc., color therapy even. That's not something you need a scientist to prove to you, because if you go into a room where the walls are red, that's a much more aggressive color than if you went into a room where the walls were blue. That's a much more calming color. So there has been done substantial psychological research on these types of things, these types of therapies, alternative forms of therapies. Doctors, scientists, everyday researchers compiling information from scientific and medical studies all over the world. That's the kind of quote-unquote research that I'm talking about. Then you have people that take that, and they'll do things at conferences, just to give you an example of where I'm going with this. They'll do things at conferences. This is one thing that I've seen, where this woman who was dressed up in some type of pageantry, I'm not sure what she was wearing, she had somebody lay down on what looked like a massage table, and they laid, it wasn't a massage table, but it looked like a massage table. They laid down on the massage table, and she covered them with some special, like, I don't know, Andromeda Council blanket. And then she waved like some type of, you know, like a light you'd have in a warehouse or a light you'd have in a classroom, one of those big bulbs that give off what some people call dirty electricity. She like waved one of those over the person, and they claimed it was some type of light therapy, and just kind of waves it over their body. And then she stops, and I've seen Reiki perform before. I don't think this woman was doing Reiki, at least that's not what the sign said. And then she like moves her hands. I think she had them hold like a crystal or something as well. And she like move while they're covered up by a blanket. She moves her hand like over their body. And then that's $49.99. If the person believes that made them better in some way, then placebo effect. I don't know what reasoning, though, scientific or seemingly unscientific in terms of the metaphysical that could be given to explain what the hell that was that I witnessed. And I've seen that at several conferences. I don't understand what that is. You cover up with some weird blanket, hold a crystal, and then someone waves some type of light bulb over you, and you're healed. What that tells me is that somebody read about Nikola Tesla somewhere. They read about Nikola Tesla using electricity as therapy. And he would pass certain currents through his body. And they saw that story, and they read about it, and they saw the picture of Nikola Tesla holding a light bulb, and they thought, oh, light bulb, electricity therapy, let me wave a light bulb over somebody and charge them $45, $49, $50, $100, some random number. So it sounds like you've really thought about it. Yeah, that's going to be $87.36. Well, that seems like a random number. Well, we calculated the amount of energy that we had to use to heal your body and the amount of energy we're using in lighting this light bulb. We want to make sure we give some of this money back to protecting the planet. Don't you love animals? Don't you love sea life? Don't you love the planet? That's why we're charging $87.36. And all you have to do is lay down. We'll put this special blanket over you. And then you hold this crystal. That's an additional $4.99. You hold this crystal, and we'll wave our hands over you, and then you're healed. And we do take every major credit card. We even accept PayPal. That's $87.36, and if you want to hold the crystal too, that'll ground your body to the massage table. That crystal's $4.99. We can add that. That's an add-on. We can add on. That's the kind of stuff that I've seen, and that is the same kind of nonsense as people claiming, I'm from the future, the year 3700. Really? You're from the future? Well, tell me what the future looks like. Well, in the future, there are all kinds of weird-looking buildings. Really? Do they kind of look like buildings that we have today? Because that's what it looks like in the picture that you showed me. Well, yes, they're very similar to the buildings we have today. So they're not really any different 1,700 years from now. We didn't go from like building houses out of wood and just very basic elements of nature thousands of years ago, like mud, trees, things like that, to plastic and metal in the 21st century, and then in the year 3700, it just kind of looks the same, using the same materials. Well, yes, see, what happened was the robot war broke out, and it prevented human beings from advancing any further from the 21st century, and then human beings were almost defeated, and they were able to, though, come back at the last minute and defeat the robots. And really, that's pretty fascinating. What proof do you have of that? Well, I have this piece of metal that I brought back through the time machine. I don't know about you, this is just total nonsense to me. That doesn't mean time travel is not real. That doesn't mean directed energy weapons aren't real. That doesn't mean that I'm dismissing, questioning. In fact, on the contrary, I'm encouraging questioning. Sometimes I get people, sometimes they're close friends, who send me stuff like this and say, see, I knew you'd be interested in this. See, I told you time travel is real. I told you DEWs are real. You're right. You've said this before too. And I say, well, I don't really believe that story about time travel. Oh my God, how could you not believe it? It's proof. The guy's on video with a metal arm that he said he took from a robot fox. That's what he actually says in the video. He took from a robot fox that he killed with his bare hands. I feel like this guy, by the way, in the video, he's got like brown pants and a plaid shirt on. I feel like this guy should have some type of futuristic suit on or something. That's what Jerry Seinfeld said. In the future, we just end up with the one-piece jumpsuits. I feel like this guy should have something on like that, not be dressed like some guy who went down to the mall and picked out some clothes. Isn't this obvious? Isn't this obvious? And then when you catch these people, like the YouTube channels and some of these con artists, they're like, oh, we didn't say it was real. We just said, what if it was real? But it's peddling false information to make money on YouTube or wherever it might be. Time travelers. Makes for, some people might think, good radio. I don't think it's good radio, but makes for good radio to some. Makes a lot of money if you know how to sell it right. And that's really what it is. It's selling. It's selling information and making a profit off of selling that information. There's a lot of people also today that claim to be like shamans and light workers. I want to talk about that and some of these other weird things I've seen at conferences when we come back from break. Because that is something, the people claiming to be light workers and goddesses and shamans, that's something that is now out of control. Like, there are so many light workers and shamans today. It's an oversaturated field. You might want to think about getting into shamanism because everybody's a shaman nowadays. You know what a lot of these shaman ladies do? They like to wear low-cut tops so their boobs hang out, and then they perform their shamanistic acts like that, where they lay you down at a table and they rub their boobs in your face and then they tell you to hold a crystal and they charge you $30 for it. That's what modern shamanism has turned into. Or these people that think going to an orgy, snorting a bunch of coke, and drinking excessively is the way to become enlightened. Well, to the contrary, all of the sacred texts and symbols that they profane with their ignorance teach the very opposite of that, to abstain from all three things, alcohol, drugs, and sex, especially when performing various forms of rituals. That doesn't mean, of course, people don't take things like hallucinogenic drugs. They do that, but usually in the stories we have about mystery schools and secret societies, they took drugs, but they did so one time as part of their final stage of initiation, so that they could cross over temporarily into the spirit world and have communion with some energy, let's say. And then they're resurrected after that. Shamans, likewise, they go through a process of death and rebirth. But people don't run around drunk all the time, taking drugs all the time, and getting involved in mass orgies. That is a profanity of the sacred. It's a profanity of all of the things that these people claim to be representing. And that's really what you see all over this community, whatever you want to call it, the metaphysical community, the ufology community, the paranormal community. It's just nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. Time travelers and people that butchered aliens, and nobody's got proof of anything. And the people that do have proof of what they're saying, like legitimate researchers or people that have actually been involved in things, you realize that they don't get the same kind of attention. Like, I would bet on this, that if you were to ask somebody who is a David Wilcock fan, like reads his books, listens to him all the time, goes to his conferences, if you were to ask them who Gary McKinnon is, I would bet you that at least 7 out of 10 people have no idea who Gary McKinnon is. Although Gary McKinnon is the man who David Wilcock took a lot of his secret space program stuff from. The legitimate secret space program information that Gary McKinnon took from U.S. Space Command when he hacked into those computers. And then he just built this, Wilcock did, just built this facade around it and used it to grow his ego even larger. Maybe I'm wrong, but these people just seem like con artists to me. They just seem like con artists to me. You know what I was thinking before we take this break here? I was thinking about this. When I read this story about the time traveler, it says, time traveler from year 3700 warns of terrible war between humans and robots. His name is Mike, by the way. Mike the time traveler. That's catchy. Mike the time traveler says he's been involved in secret operations for the National Secure Laboratory of Canada. So he's a time traveler. He goes to the future and then comes back to the present, and he brought with him a metal leg of a robot fox that tried to attack him. And he said the power is immense, but he defeated this thing with his bare hands. So Mike the time traveler is a superhuman who goes through time and defeats robot foxes. That sounds like some like comic book or something. But what I thought about was this. Let me play the clip. Most of you will probably know what this is from. This is from an old episode of Reno 911, and this is immediately what I thought about when I read this story. Time traveler from year 3700 warns of terrible war between humans and robots. So in this episode of Reno 911, this pseudo-comical cop show, if you've never seen it. Danny DeVito was one of the main, I think, producers and writers on that. Most of it was improv, and so all the police officers, they pull up to this pawn shop, and this guy is running around with an Uzi, and he's naked, and he says he's from the future. This is exactly the kind of thing that when you put on the glasses from They Live, this is what these people who claim to be time travelers and shamans, this is what they actually look like. They're running around naked, screaming like this.
He's got an Uzi! I am from the future!
He's from the future? Son of a bitch.
No! Sir! No!
Oh my God! This is what it's like to go to a conference.
I sit here because there's a war between the computers and the humans and the dogs and the cats. You get your gun! You put down your gun!
I'm gonna put this
down. That's what it's like to confront one of these conference speakers. They're from the future. There's a war between the robots and the humans and the dogs and the cats, and they're just running around crazy. But if you don't put the glasses on, then they just look like somebody in a nice suit who did a bunch of research, and they're very credible. That's what they actually look like when you put the glasses on. I am from the future, and there is a war between the humans and the robots and the dogs and the cats. I'm Ryan Gable, and this is the Secret Teachings Radio Broadcast. When we come back from our break, we'll continue our conversation on time travel and con artists, snake oil salesmen and snake oil saleswomen. I'll tell some additional stories of things that I've seen at conferences, from light therapy to snake therapy to vibration therapy, all kinds of things that you have to pay a lot of money, just like pharmaceutical medicine, just like mainstream orthodox medicine. Most of it's a scam. In the alternative world, most of it's also a scam. But there are some things in orthodox medicine that can help you if you break a leg. There are certain types of painkillers and drugs that can actually help you if you take them in moderation, you don't abuse them. In the alternative, likewise, most of it is nonsense, but there are some things that can actually help you. Mainstream orthodox medicine doesn't like that because that's a threat. And likewise, in the alternative, which is just as mainstream as the mainstream, they reject the mainstream. So you have this conflict between two opposing sides, and people get caught in the middle. They don't like the mainstream, so they go right to the alternative. They don't like the alternative, so they go right back to the mainstream. Just like politics. Well, I voted for a Republican this time, nothing changed, let me vote for a Democrat. Ah, nothing changed, let me vote for a Republican. It's literally insanity. The Black Friday sale.
Racist.
The African American sale.
Culturally inappropriate.
The White Friday sale.
Hateful and patriarchal.
Okay, the PC Friday sale.
Offensive to people who like Macintosh.
Alright, so we'll just call it a sale. Right now, through the end of November, a $40 donation to the Secret Teachings will get you a 1-year subscription, giving you access to the full show archive with unlimited downloads and an autographed softcover copy of my book, Occult Arcana. Digital copies are available as well. So visit www.thesecretteachings.info or use the email rdgable@yahoo.com on PayPal. That's www.thesecretteachings.info. A $40 donation for a year subscription and a softcover autographed copy of my book, Occult Arcana. Thank you all for supporting the broadcast so that we can be with you 5 nights a week.
Offensive to people who only like to listen 4 nights a week.
Would you get out of here?
The truth is out there.
There's something out here.
And so are we. KTOK Digital Broadcasting, The Fringe FM.
Do you enjoy The Secret Teachings?
You now have an opportunity to help inform others while supporting the program by purchasing our newly available t-shirts for men, women, or whatever else you identify as, even a purple penguin. Whether you spark conversation with the Secret Teachings t-shirt or you want to decorate your safe space with an awesome poster, we have what you want at thesecretteachings.info. For any questions, contact Ryan Gable by email at rdgable@yahoo.com.
Hey, Fringe FM listeners, did you know that when you're on the road with limited data or no Wi-Fi available, you can still listen to every minute of the Fringe FM by calling 701-719-3971. No smartphone, app, or internet needed. Saves your data plan and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call 701-719-3971. That's 701-719-3971. Listen to the Fringe FM on any phone, anytime, anywhere.
This is M. Don Shorn, author of the book series collectively known as the Journals of the Ancient Ones. Please join me as we listen to Ryan Gable on the Secret Teachings radio program, where knowledge and learning reside.
So many people distrust the mainstream orthodox community of medicine, of food, science, history, and so on and so forth. And usually in response to recognizing that in some way, shape, or form you've been lied to or deceived or you just don't have all of the information, it's instinctual for us to, it seems at least, reject those orthodox ideologies and immediately turn to the perceived opposite in the alternative of medicine, food, science, history, and so on and so forth. But when we do that with very little perspective, and when we do that without any encouragement to think and to ask questions and to critically analyze what we are being told, then we fall into a trap that is employed by the same type of person, the same type of people, and the same ideology that will sell you placebos and harmful chemicals as remedies to problems that could be solved by simply changing your lifestyle and changing your diet, for example. In the case of the alternative world, we have exactly the same thing. People selling, whether physical items or some type of idea, claiming that it will solve your problem just as easily as modern medicine claims that their drug will solve your problem just as easily as the alternative claims they can solve your problem easily. And that's at the root core of this. People claiming that they can solve the problem Just like that. It's so easy. Solving the problem. Whatever the problem might be. I've seen some laughable, to say the very least, I've seen some laughable, and I've seen some just downright strange, which doesn't mean that it's not legitimate, but I've seen some strange practices performed by people that go to expos and conferences and also are guests on radio shows that I've come across. Because I've been in radio most of my adult life, and I've bounced around to different networks, and I've listened to other shows, listened to other hosts, interview people that I don't think I'd interview, but I listen to it. I listen to what people have to say. I listen to what these time travelers have to say. I just don't believe them. I don't believe that the future looks exactly like the present does. I don't believe that the year 3700 looks identical to the year 2018. I don't believe the year 6000, furthermore, looks essentially identical to the year 2018. I don't believe that if you killed a robot fox, as this guy claims, in the year 3700, and you bring back the robot arm, it looks like some child's play kit, you know, where you can build like a mechanism with the gears and things like that. It looks like that. It looks like something this guy glued together at a computer repair shop, just getting different parts and wrapping wires around it so it looks legitimate. It's a joke. As it's sold, it's being sold as, what if? It's a maybe. So the people that are selling it have plausible deniability. They know it's fake. They know it's made up. But if you sell it as, what if? Could it be? Possibly? Start thinking about the way that Ancient Aliens, the television show, and I'm not saying all of the people on that television show are bad people, by any means. Some of the people on that television show I've met, some of the people on that television show I'm friends with, some of the people on that television show I've never met, so I don't know everybody. But what I'm saying is, you watch that television show, and you listen to how it's narrated. This is an observation, not a critique. It's narrated like this. Ancient alien theorists say, ancient alien theorists believe, and that's the same kind of commentary you get with nightly news, is it not? Police officers believe, police officers say, the victim, police officers say that the shooter, dot, dot, dot. Another thing about ancient aliens is you'll hear, usually towards the end of the show, or maybe towards the beginning as well, they recap at the end. What if this artifact depicts an alien in a spacesuit 3,000 years ago? What does that say about our modern civilization? Could we all really be descendant from extraterrestrials who came here in advanced spaceships from light years away? Could we really have been visited by ancient aliens? And then the credits roll. That is exactly how these time travel videos are made. You don't have to believe it, but what if this person really did go to the future? What if this person really did fight a robot fox? What if this person is telling the truth and there really is a zoo in the year 4500 with dinosaurs kept in cages? What if? You know what it sounds like? It sounds like these people watched The Terminator. They watched Jurassic Park. And like David Wilcock himself said, he watched Star Wars. And Obi-Wan Kenobi is his father. He wrote that, not me. Emery Smith gives his account of underground bases, and he's taking stories from people that were interviewed on Art Bell in the early 90s. He's taking images from science fiction films. And they provide no proof otherwise, but it's in the subconscious. We've seen these things before. Yeah, we've seen the doors that open. We've seen aliens on television. We've seen movies about time travel. We've seen movies about robots and wars between humans and robots. We've seen several movies about that. So we believe that it's real because we've seen the imagery. We've seen the movies. We've seen the TV shows. We've heard the stories. We've read the books. And then when someone says it actually happened, it plays on our desire to learn, to discover the unknown. It plays on our curiosity, and it exploits that curiosity. And we begin to think, well, maybe this guy really did dissect 3,000 aliens. Maybe this guy really is from the future. I mean, Corey Good said he was time regressed for the secret space program. One of the things that I thought was interesting that Joe from the Carolinas said when he was on the show a few weeks ago was that he and his team, they did an investigation and filed some Freedom of Information Act requests. And they got some information back about government programs and found that there really was a guy with that name who was involved in these government programs. What that tells me is that this David Wilcott, Corey Good, Emery Smith, it all blends together. The Corey Good, Emery Smith, Jordan Sather cabal, they probably have done an extensive amount of research to extract very credible elements of the story, and then they just fill in the blanks like a Mad Lib. That really is what this is. It's like a Mad Lib. Because is time travel a real thing? Probably. Scientists in the last couple of years have been able to send light particles back in time, haven't they? Or at least stop them for a period of time that is essentially leaving them in the past while we proceed fractions of a second into the future. I've seen a lot of stories about that. I don't know if that's true, but that's mainstream science. So if we're to believe that, then time travel probably is real in some way, shape, or form. At least based on the laws and principles of relativity, being closer to the ground as opposed to being higher off the ground, time moves different. Time is just a perception anyway. Whether you're in the room with a beautiful lady or a beautiful man, or you're in the room with a beautiful androgyny liberal creature, time moves a little bit different. So if we're to take that into consideration, time travel probably is real, and it depends on how you define time travel, too. Is time travel getting into a time machine and jumping to some future event or jumping into the past? Are you getting into a DeLorean and driving the vehicle over 80 miles an hour and then it travels through time? Is that what we're doing, or what kind of time travel is this? That's the other thing I encourage you to think about, is to ask questions about what is being, just the title of what is being claimed. If somebody says they're a time traveler, what does that mean? Because you get into these predicaments where, just like the people that make these time travel videos, they say, well, we're just presenting it. We're not sure if it's right. Maybe it is. And when you call them out on the fact that it's nonsense because they can't prove it, which, of course, doesn't mean that it's nonsense. I'll give them that. But when you address the subject and ask for evidence, they say, well, we never said it was real. We just, you know, it's just something, you know, we just put it out there. Plausible deniability. It's genius. And I would do it too, but I have values. A lot of people probably would do this, but there are a lot of people in this world that have values. They're virtuous. They're not trying to rip people off. They're not trying to scam people. They're not trying to make a ton of money off of exploiting people's genuine curiosity of the unknown. That's what really just makes me sick. Really makes me sick. Then you have others that aren't really doing it because they're exploiting intentionally the goodwill and the positive intention and the genuine curiosity of others. They're doing it because they have been themselves exploited by people who do intentionally exploit the goodwill and the good intention and the genuine curiosity of people. What I mean by that is, I'll provide you with a couple of examples that I've seen at conferences that I've been to, and some expos. I've been to expos before as well. There was an expo in Orlando, Florida, I went to several years ago. And you get people there that are doing book sales and people that are doing jewelry sales and cloth sales. But you also get, you know, the psychics. There's always a psychic there somewhere. And I think when I went to that expo in Orlando, there was a psychic there, and I think Mike D was with me. Mike went to the psychic. Mike's done a lot of psychic readings. I've never been to a psychic and paid for it, but I've had a psychic who I think is a legitimate psychic, Cassandra Blizzard. I've talked to her and interviewed her before. She seems like a very legitimate psychic, and if I was going to pay a psychic, I'd pay somebody like her. But you just get these sideshow psychics and these people that either are really good or they're really bad at reading other people. And the really bad ones are just a sideshow and people want to be taken for a ride. They'll happily pay just to say, I had my fortune read. And then others are really, really skilled manipulators. And they can read the other person and they can manipulate. And they can easily sell legitimacy. But inside of legitimacy is deceit. They can easily sell you the idea that they are a real psychic, but they're not. They're a con artist. Are there real psychics, though? I believe so. Are directed energy weapons real? Yes. Does that mean they were used in California? Not necessarily. Is time travel real? Probably in some way, shape, or form. But does that mean that every video of a time traveler on YouTube is real? No. In fact, most of those are probably not real. I'd go as far to say that all of them are fake. All of them are fake. That's my opinion, though. You might have a different opinion. And I encourage you to have a different opinion if you do have a different opinion. Don't believe it just because I think that they're fake. You think that they're fake. I encourage you to question what I'm saying. And a lot of times, when you question what somebody's saying and that person is open to changing their point of view or seeing your point of view, it's interpreted as backpedaling. Do not let my openness nor your openness be interpreted as backpedaling. It's not backpedaling. It's not a negative thing. If somebody presents you with information that is different and you say, I can see that point of view, that's not backpedaling. That's having a truly open mind. And to ask questions is to be a true skeptic, but to ask questions of everything, including what you believe. So besides the obvious frauds in most of these psychics, I have seen some weird, weird stuff. I've seen these, usually it's one way or the other, and it's all usually sexual in nature. So I saw this one guy. He had a table set up, didn't really have anything on the table, and he had a couple of chairs, and he was supposed to be a healer of some type. Now, this is for the ladies out there. Be very careful, unless you just want to do this because you kind of think it's fun. Just like people want to go to a psychic to be ripped off because it's fun. Unless you like to be touched inappropriately, I would not advise doing this. So these healers that have to touch you somewhere on your body. And I saw this one guy one time. He literally, there was this woman in front of him. And usually, you know, the woman has to be somewhat attractive. If it's some like 300-pound woman in a wheelchair, you know, it's hands-off therapy. But if it's some like 22-year-old woman in makeup who thinks she's a shaman with her boobs hanging out, then, you know, the therapy starts. So this woman was standing there, and this guy is like touching her very, very close to her private area and saying, is that where the pain is? And then moving his hands up very close to the breast, and is that where the pain is? And you see this, all the time. These people are, I mean, to call them con artists is light. What a lot of them are I would use the word pervert. I think a lot of them really are perverts. And they literally just get off by touching people. And not only are they touching people, but people are paying them to touch them. What a great scam. So this guy's like rubbing this girl's vagina and then grabbing her breasts and saying, yes, you've been healed. You've been healed. Something along those lines. So stay away from stuff like that. Then you have the people that do the light therapy. I agree that light, color, can and does have an effect on our mood, on our emotions, on our feelings, on our health. Does that mean waving a light bulb that you bought at Walmart for $2.99 over someone laying down on a velvet or silk sheet? Does that mean it's going to heal them? Probably not. Does that mean that light therapy is not a real by means of it actually working to some degree form of therapy? No, because it absolutely is. But waving a light bulb over somebody doesn't necessarily heal them. And I think, this is my opinion, my intuition, I think some of that comes from misunderstanding some of the things that Nikola Tesla did to his own body by passing current through it. And he's usually shown holding a light bulb in a lot of iconic pictures. So people, I think, interpret that, ooh, light bulb. He passed currents through his body. So if I wave a light bulb over somebody, that'll heal them. And that's the same erratic, sensational, hyper, trance-like state that people get into when they say, Nikola Tesla was communicated to by aliens. No. A friend of his, working for a publication, I believe it was in Philadelphia, he wrote about how Nikola Tesla was so advanced for the time that it was like he was being addressed by extraterrestrials. But who knows, he wrote. It was like he was being addressed by extraterrestrials. And yet that is a very common statement now. You know, Nikola Tesla was assisted in his electrical workings by ETs. No, I didn't know that. Well, you should do some reading, young man. No. You should do some reading, because I've read those statements and nowhere does it say that extraterrestrials absolutely assisted in the development of Tesla technology. It doesn't say that anywhere. And if you can show me where it says that, then I will stand corrected. But I need it like in Nikola Tesla's handwriting or in some translated version, not something that was read off of a blog post online or something off of a YouTube video. And let me be very clear that in a lot of cases, it's not that people are trying to intentionally deceive and manipulate and scam other people. It's that they themselves have been scammed. They themselves have been the victims of fraud. And so they pass that energy along to others. They unintentionally defraud others. They unintentionally scam others. They unintentionally manipulate others. And they themselves believe it. And so there is power in belief, sure. So if you believe that you can do something, perhaps you really can do something. If you have the intention to truly help somebody heal with an incandescent light bulb, let's say, maybe you can actually heal them if they believe it too. If you think you can heal a woman by grabbing her breasts and charging her for it, and she believes it too and she's cool with it, then maybe you can heal her, whatever the problem might be. I mean, I have seen some weird stuff. Like, I've seen things where these women that are dressed like gypsies, that's the only word I can use, they're kind of dressed like gypsies. Sometimes they're dressed like prostitutes or porn stars or like off-duty porn stars or like strippers. That'd be the kind of an off-duty porn star. Kind of dressed like strippers. And I saw this one lady one time. She had a giant python snake. And she literally would let this thing, and she also had these other ladies that were around her who were overweight, so it kind of made her look better. This woman was so fake. Everything was fake about her, including her act with the serpent. And so she takes the serpent. I think she's trying to be Lilith. She had the serpent on her. She's Lilith, the scarlet woman. And so it was like snake therapy. She let the snake crawl on you. Or you go up and you have to let the snake crawl on you. And like as the snake is crawling on this person, snake's probably pretty upset about having to do this. I feel sorry for the snake. the snake is crawling on this person, and the woman's like, you see, the snake right now is balancing your energy. And like, she's got everybody's got a fake accent too. That's another thing. That's another thing we should address, the fake accents. So this woman's got like a fake accent. I don't even know what it is. I'm just trying to mimic it. She's like, see, it's blowing off your energy right now. And she actually said that it's blowing off your energy. It's blowing. It's probably why a lot of guys went over there to get that, that healing. They wanted to be blown off. They just thought, you know, she was going to do it, not the snake. So the snake's like crawling around these people. He's like, it's blowing off your energy right now. It's balancing that energy out. All right, that's going to be $19.99. Like, who? I get if you're trying something new, but at some point you have to recognize, like, I'm being ripped off. And I mean, if you got $20 to spend, that woman wasn't charging $20. To be fair, she was just letting her snake crawl on people. But if you're charging like $20 to do something, I don't know, a psychic reading, or you know, you touch somebody's groin and they're healed, and someone wants to pay that $20 because they saved that for a conference, or they saved that for a trip they took, and they just want to kind of experience what it's like to be ripped off as a tourist. Okay, that's their decision. But if someone is selling something that I can easily disprove, if someone is selling like a light bulb and they're saying this light bulb was manufactured using Tesla technology with the assistance of extraterrestrials, and they're selling that, and I can say, dude, that is absolutely nonsense, because here's what was actually written about Tesla and aliens, and it says it was like he's being addressed by extraterrestrials. It's like he's being assisted by extraterrestrials. And I can prove it wrong, then I think that should be done. Now, there are other things that I don't know if they help. I've seen things like, and if you want to try them, try them. I actually should try them. I didn't want that snake crawling on me after it crawled on a bunch of really fat people who were sweating really bad. I don't want that on me. So I guess I should try some of these things sometime. I've done the light therapy before. I just didn't have some woman with her boobs hanging out over top of me making me hold a crystal for $4.99. And I'm just kind of throwing the prices in there. None of those are like actual prices, but the light therapy with the crystal, that's real. The guy touching the girl in her private areas, that's real. I've seen that. And the snake crawling on people, I've seen that too. Another one is where you lay down in a lawn chair. This is a great one. This is a great scam. You lay down in a lawn chair, and you remember those commercials, like late night TV, and then they became really popular, the actual device, where it was for like a back massager, and you put the massager on your chair so it takes up the whole chair, and then it has different settings, and you know, you can turn the heat on, you can vibrate the top of your back, lower back. It's basically putting that on a lawn chair and then charging people to sit in it and get a massage. Now, if it was actually sold as a massage, that's different. To sell it as something that can heal your body and to sell it for more than what a massage would cost, I'd argue a massage could probably heal parts of your body. That's a scam as far as I'm concerned. And I remember looking at this one. This one is, they had like a computer screen set up, and they had this computer generated image of blood cells. And some people went over to this and they sat down in the chair, and I'm pretty sure that they actually thought, I don't know how this is possible personally, but they actually thought that was a live image of their blood cells as they were sitting in the chair. That apparently is how naive people are. Now, if you want to try new things, I encourage that. Try the snake therapy. Try the groin therapy. Try the light therapy. Try the crystal therapy. Try the back massage therapy. Try all of that. I would highly, highly encourage that. But realize that in a lot of cases, you're being ripped off. In the same way that if you go to the doctor, most of the time you're being ripped off. Can sometimes the doctor help you? Absolutely. Sometimes can the alternative therapy help you? Absolutely. Sometimes is the best type of therapy a combination of both? Absolutely, absolutely. To dismiss either is like dismissing astrology but accepting astronomy, or vice versa. People that are into astrology, no, astronomy, that's too mainstream, man. I don't believe that. Well, you should believe it, because they're both coming from the same point. They're different parts of the same spectrum. Just different ways of looking at things, different influences. don't think I've told this story before. There was another thing I saw. I don't even know what this was. It looked like a back vibrator, you know, or it could have been like one of those magic wand sex toys. I'm not exactly sure what it was, but some guy was like selling that. He was actually selling this thing, and he had like a woman laying down on a massage table. And again, it was basically a massager, and he was like massaging her back. But I don't know what kind of motor they put in this thing. It literally sounded like a weed whacker. So like, I felt like this thing has got like a pull string. You'd have to like, and it was literally that loud from across the room. And then he's like massaging this woman's back with it. It's just one of the creepy things I noticed when I went to conferences before. It's like these guys that walk around, usually guys that initiate it, but the women like it. It's like these guys that walk around, and they're of all ages. Usually they're older than I am, but all ages, and they walk around and they've got like weird clothes on, like they're gypsies or something, and like there's really expensive items that you buy at a metaphysical store. They've got like those types of clothes on, and they use their perceived inner peace as a way to touch women. Have you ever seen that before? Like I've seen these guys that'll go into like a, they don't even have to be a part of the conference. They're just people that are attending, and they'll just go up to different women, like any woman who's mildly attractive, and they're like, "I want to give you a hug. I love your pants." And then usually the woman is no different than the man. She's like, "Wow, I love your dreadlocks." And then they embrace each other, and then like both of them kind of move their hands up and down the body and fill the other person up, and then they just move on to the next person. It's an excuse to fill somebody up without getting arrested or without getting hit or sprayed with pepper spray is basically what it is. Now, does that mean, though, that hugging somebody is not beneficial, that human contact is not beneficial? No, it does not, because human contact is absolutely beneficial. And some people, if they don't have human contact, they get very depressed, and some people are heartbroken enough that they die, just like a dog dies when its owner dies. Being heartbroken is actually a real medical, I don't know if I call it a condition, but it's a real medical acknowledgement. Mainstream medicine acknowledges that people who feel heartbroken actually have a condition, and people do die from being heartbroken. So physical contact is a necessary thing, especially with somebody who is, in one way or another, providing you with some form of positive energy, like the intentionality of making you feel better by giving you a hug. And now maybe I'm just being a prick, but some of these people, I don't think that they're doing it to spread positive energy. I think they're doing it to get off, and I think that it's rampant. And the last thing that I wanted to mention about these types of things is the shaman. I don't know about you, but I have never seen so many shamans wandering around before. See, I thought shamanism was a practice that was held very sacred, and people who became shamans because it was passed down by lineage, or because they had experienced some form of accident. Maybe they lost an arm, or they were hit on the head real good, and now they have a speech impediment or something. They've experienced some type of physical trauma. They were made a shaman. Shamans usually live in seclusion. Shamans usually do consume various hallucinogenic substances, and then they communicate by oracle from the spirit world to the physical world. And they usually, again, live in seclusion, and they typically provide oracle, and they provide medicine, they provide wisdom to those that follow them, if you will, to those of the tribe. Today, shamanism is nothing like that. Today, here's what I've seen shamanism as. Shamanism is essentially nowadays, I know this will be offensive to at least one or two people probably, but shamanism is basically today a stripper who got tired of stripping at a strip club. And so what she did was she's interested in like UFOs or something. And so she decided to trade in her Victoria's Secret lingerie for like what I would call, I guess, gypsy lingerie, and basically wear very little clothing so her boobs are hanging out, and she gets like a, I don't know, like a pentagram belly button ring or some type of symbol because that's cool. And, you know, she wears very little clothing. And then she goes around spreading love by giving really creepy old men hugs and telling them about her shaman service, which costs like $100. And what she'll do is she'll talk to you with her boobs hanging out. And she usually has some type of shamanistic tool like a rattle or a stick. And then she, as I mentioned a moment ago, usually has an accent. And it could be any accent. It just has to sound exotic. And so she does the accent, and people pay her money to bounce around in front of them. So most shamans now that I've seen are like strippers who have changed wardrobe into a different theme. And the theme is shamanism. The theme is metaphysics. That's the theme. I've seen people that have done kind of the opposite, where they're not really like, they don't really come off as strippers. They don't really come off as like borderline prostitutes and porn stars. And I'm not making this up. I've seen this consistently. It's funny, but it's also not funny. It's also embarrassing and extremely excruciating to watch because it's just, I can't believe people are falling for this. Then you kind of have the opposite type of shaman. And this type of shaman is not really a shaman. They're more of a light worker and a goddess. And these types of women, they don't wear as skimpy of clothing. These are the types of women that wear yoga pants that are so tight, it looks like they have a camel in their pants. And they have like super, super tight, what is the yoga pants equivalent of like a top? So it's kind of like a workout top. Or like they wear basically a sports bra, so their stomach's showing. And then they walk around and run around and bounce around. And they're light workers and goddesses, and they wear all of this jewelry. And they tell you that they can heal your chakras. You have to pay them, of course, but they can heal your chakras if you let them touch you. And of course, why am I not going to let this girl touch me, right? Personally, I wouldn't, because I don't want herpes, but whatever these whatever these girls are selling, I'm not buying, but a lot of people are buying it. And then you kind of have the opposite end of that spectrum. Then you have the men. And a lot of men really aren't shamans. A lot of men are usually like whistleblowers. That's what I've kind of recognized. The frauds in these areas of interest for myself and for many of you, presuming you're interested in some of these subjects because you are listening to The Secret Teachings and to The Fringe FM, among probably many other networks and other radio shows. Women either dress like strippers or they dress like hot mom, yoga pants, something like that, and they charge men money for touching them. So it's basically prostitution. Then there's the other end of that spectrum for men. Men usually don't do that because men can't really get away with that. Most women aren't going to pay a man to touch them, but in some cases you do have this. Most men are whistleblowers. They've worked in a secret space program. They've dissected aliens. You know, I read something about Emery Smith. I forgot to mention this on the show a couple of weeks ago. I read something about Emery Smith. I've read some of these comments about David Wilcock to people that seem to legitimately think that they knew him in school. And they've said things like, yeah, I knew David Wilcock in school. I used to sell that guy dope. I've seen several comments of people on different videos who have said that. Now, maybe that's not true. I don't know. But I just find it funny that I've also seen similar comments about Emery Smith. In fact, one of the comments I saw, intuitively, I thought it was real. Like, I actually kind of believed the person. They said, I don't know if I've seen Emery Smith before, but he kind of looks really familiar. I think he used to work at a gym in Palm Springs. This is what somebody wrote, which I can believe that because the guy used to be buff. And he was working, I guess, at some gym in Palm Springs. I can believe that. And I guess what happened was he wasn't making enough money and he wasn't getting enough action on the side, being a gym trainer, or maybe he was the manager. They didn't really say. They just said they remember seeing him at a gym working there. And so maybe David Wilcock came along. David Wilcock was getting his pump on, and he realized what an idiot Emory Smith was, and he offered him a job with his cabal. And so Emory Smith stopped lifting dumbbells, and he started lifting sandwiches into his mouth as he lived a life of luxury, making millions of dollars a month. And all he has to do, as he asks Mr. Wilcock, what do I do, David? What do I say? David's like, look, all you have to say is you were in a secret space program. And Emory says, well, don't I have to have proof that I was actually in that? And David said, no, not at all. You don't have to have any proof. I'll tell people I vetted you. They'll believe me. You were in a secret space program. You dissected, let's say, 3,000 aliens, and we'll make a bunch of money together. And Emory Smith is too stupid to know he's being used, but he's making money. So he gave up the gym career, and he went to work for the Wilcock cabal. He put down the dumbbells, picked up the sandwiches, gained a bunch of weight, put a bulletproof vest on like Junior from Reno 911. And that's where you have Emory Smith today. That's my theory anyway. That's my theory. That's what I think happened. The point is, a lot of these con artists who are women, they're like prostitutes and shamans and light workers. And then a lot of the con artists who are men are just fiction writers. They're whistleblowers. They're blowing the whistle on corruption. They're blowing the whistle on the secret space program. What would we do without the whistleblowers? What would we do without the shaman ladies with their sticks and their rattles and their boobs hanging out? What would we do without these people? The world would be such a horrible place if we didn't have this. I encourage you to think. I encourage you to question. I encourage you to think and question about what I've said, and to question me as much as you should think about what you believe and question what you think. And then furthermore, apply that to the stories of time travel and shamans and light workers and people from the future. I'm Ryan Gable. This is The Secret Teachings. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. Remember, 5 nights a week on The Fringe FM, 12 midnight U.S. Pacific time, 3 a.m. U.S. Eastern time. A $40 donation right now will get you an autographed copy of my book, Occult Arcana. If you'd like, I can also give you a digital copy as well, no extra cost, and a one-year subscription to The Secret Teachings, where you get unlimited downloads and streams of the broadcast. $40, you can use PayPal, or you can use any other payment method through PayPal. rdgable@yahoo.com is the email. That's rdgable@yahoo.com. And your support supports this broadcast, supports the research I do, and supports me attending, on very rare occasions when I'm able to and I haven't been banned, conferences, so that I can share this information with you and we can dig a little bit deeper into these subjects beyond just believing or denying them, dismissing them, or accepting them because we want to believe in something, or furthermore, because we disbelieve in something.
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me.
Information is not morbid. Ignorance is morbid. Ignorance is depressing. Learning this information should be liberating and free. You should have a sense of empowerment, knowing the fact that you are no longer going to be screwed over by lies.